Alrighty. Shabbat shalom, everyone. How are we doing? Go ahead and have a seat. So, alrighty. Well, it's good to see all you guys. It has just been an amazing week. Could you turn me down just a little bit? Thank you so much. We are starting a new book of the Torah. It's pretty exciting. It seems like it goes so quickly. As you're going through the Torah, especially right after Sukkot, that's when we start over in Genesis, and we're going, and things kind of seem to be going slow, and then all of a sudden you look up, and you're in Deuteronomy, which means Sukkot's right around the corner, which is kind of scary, because a lot of work and planning needs to be done for that. And so for Andrea and I, well, I don't know if she's connected with it yet, but I sure have, of just how amazing the time is, but how much work needs to be done for it. So, but as you're walking with Yahweh, sometimes things seem to be going so fast in your relationship with Him and what He's doing in the kingdom, and other times they seem to be going so slow. And a lot of that depends on how we're feeling at any given time and the things that we're going through. When we are just feeling blessed, when we feel like we are victorious in things, that God is really moving and working through us, you know, sometimes things are just going, and it can be hard to stop and really treasure those times. But then when we're struggling through things or when we're working through things, life just kind of keeps going slowly and slowly. And you're kind of forced to be dwelling on those things over and over and over. Because very quickly we forget the good things and the victories that God has given us. And a lot of times we are just so intent on holding on to the struggles that we have had in the past or the struggles that we are currently having. And all of us here, we're going through something to one degree or another right now, aren't we? We have individual struggles that we're fighting, individual battles that we're fighting. I mean, we can be optimistic and we can have a great deal of faith in our relationship with God and His kingdom that He is doing mighty things and there's a lot of victory and He's moving forward and that's awesome. But I think if we're also honest with ourselves, we can say, yeah, we're going through a lot of struggles. Every now and then, as a pastor, just speaking in front of people, I've seen this happen many times about saying, you know, okay, if you count yourself among the believers in God's kingdom, you know, you've got great things going on, but how many of you are, you know, have ever struggled with your faith or struggled with, you know, something or other? And without fail, there's always a couple of people that will say, I don't struggle with things. Or I've never questioned my relationship with God. I know, you know, He's given me victory over all this stuff and I never struggle with stuff. And if I were a little bit more brash and had the opportunity, I would probably tell them to their face, you're lying. You kind of have a spirit of self-righteousness going on you, or you're just kind of delusional a little bit. Because, I mean, everyone hold out your arm. I'm not going to ask you to do this to your neighbor, but pinch yourself. Hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Because we are still carnal, fleshly beings. We are not yet made and in God's complete likeness yet. We are still part of this fleshly person. And so with that comes struggles. With that comes that battle that Paul talks about of living in the spirit and living in the flesh. And so one of the things I want to get into today a little bit is as we get into Deuteronomy, which is just a really cool book in the Bible and in the Torah, because it's the repetition of basically everything that Yahweh has taught over the last four books, but it is given to a new generation. It's given to a generation that has experienced a great deal of mercy and grace, where Yahweh has kind of said, okay, those who struggled, those who doubted, those who did not believe in me, those who did not have faith and trust in the promises that I've given them, they're done. But you know what? We need to start repeating things for this younger generation. And as a parent, I love that because I've gone through my struggles, I've experienced things, and you know, I'm going to continue doing that, but there are lessons that I've learned that's now my job to teach the younger generation, to teach six barber kids what's going on so that way that they can grow in maturity and not just start from scratch in their own relationship, but they're really starting to build off of the relationship with God that their mom and dad have had. And they can just keep going. That's one of the things about having older siblings in my home, is that they just, you know, the little ones are building off of their faith and learning the lessons that they're learning. That's why it's important, and I've recognized this as discipleship, because Andrea and I, we really experienced that a lot in our, you know, our younger years, if you will, is that the discipleship doesn't just happen between one person and one person, but it kind of keeps going and going and going. And so I might be discipling some of my children, but I also recognize that my children can be discipling the other children. And I talked a few weeks ago about the mantle that is placed on me as a husband and as a father, and how there is also mantles on my other children. And that they have a responsibility for what's going on in their lives. And Andrea mentioned it, you know, Elijah, he went to camp this last week and he had a great time, and it was all sorts of wonderful. But as he and Isaac and I were driving home this morning, Elijah said, "You know who I missed the most? Was Mom and Dad. Of course, because we are awesome, but also Tessa." And it's not just because she's cute, which she is extraordinarily cute, but it is that there is a relationship building between my children and Tessa. And because of the age difference there, she's a little bit farther apart from the other kids, is they have that mantle of wanting to care for her and wanting to not just physically but emotionally and at some point in time spiritually wanting to care for her. And so the book of Deuteronomy, it's speaking to that younger generation. It's speaking to that younger generation that the first generation said, if we go into the promised land, even though God has told us to, our kids are going to be taken captive. And they're going to be the ones that are going to perish. And Yahweh basically said, you've got it wrong. You're the ones that are going to perish because you did not have faith. You did not recognize and remember what God had called you to do. So I'm going to move on to the next generation. I'm going to move on to the ones that have seen all this stuff going on, who have seen their parents struggle, and now they get to reap the benefits of everything that happened from that. So we get to see that in Deuteronomy this week. My part of the message is going to be a little bit on the shorter end. Praise God, many of you are saying, and that's okay, because I have an activity for us at the end. So be ready to get a little bit more involved with yourself, with your spirit, with your emotions, with your mind. And that's going to come up because, you know, let's face it, you guys get tired sometimes of hearing another message and sometimes people trying to tell you what you should be doing, but the bulk of our relationship with God is what he is teaching us as individuals. This is a 45-minute time that a speaker, a pastor, a preacher has to give something to you. Okay, great. 45 minutes out of your entire week is not enough, because you need to trust in your relationship with God and constantly be going to him saying, what is going on in me? What are you doing in me so that I can be the kind of believer, the kind of priest, the kind of ambassador you want me to be. So I'm going to speak for a few minutes, maybe 10, 15 or so, who knows. But then I'm going to turn it over to you guys to have a little activity that I want you to work on. And it is hopefully something that will challenge you, that will encourage you, and something that you can hold on to in real and practical ways, if that's okay with you. If it's not, you have my permission to leave right after I'm done. We will just all laugh at you and judge you when you do so. So, Deuteronomy 3, verses 21 through 22. Now keep in mind, this is Yahweh speaking to Moses, who is speaking to all of Israel, and he is basically recounting everything. He is giving the biography of Israel up to this point. And he says, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. Now, personally, if I feel like I'm about ready to enter into the promised land, what God has for me, I just really want to be pumped up. You know, I want to be motivated. I want to be encouraged. I want, you know, God to say, yeah, you can go for it. You've got this. I'm going to take care of you. It's going to be fantastic. This Torah portion, there's not a whole lot of that in here. And as you go through the first several chapters of Deuteronomy, there's not a whole lot of that going on there. Because basically, is Yahweh saying, you screwed up here, you screwed up here, you did this, you shouldn't have done that. Basically, you're just losers, is what he was saying over and over in less polite words. That's what he was saying to them. But he says here that your eyes have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. And he's saying, yeah, you've messed up over and over, and you've had these battles and these wars and these fights, and you have seen what God is doing through that. Now, when I talk about us having struggles and things that we're battling, you know, we all have, you know, what sometimes we consider is just a little thing going on. There is a war. There is a battle going on, as Pastor Mike was sharing just a little bit ago. Yeah, malaria, not fun. Could be just seen as a disease of some sort. But he recognized, and, you know, he said, but I recovered, and I was saying to myself, as he always does, unless you ever be concerned about your physical ailments and whether you'll get through, this man is a memorial stone, so hold on to that. But even something that seems so small as that, malaria is kind of a big thing, it should be seen as a battle. Not just a battle going on here, but, you know, this man and woman, they came back from an amazing time in Uganda. They were ready to go, just go and share life and share encouragement. And then all of a sudden, he's got to battle this whole malaria thing. Is that by accident? No. It's an opportunity to recognize that there's always a battle going on, and it can either take us out completely or just kind of delay what God is trying to do. And so everything in Uganda and malaria did not take this man out. It just gave him another couple weeks to just blow our socks off with his stories. That's all it is. He had some good stuff planned for last week. Oh, you should see in 2 weeks from now, adding on to that. But everything is a battle. Even the smallest things, even the biggest things, can be seen as a battle for your relationship with God, for how you're going to walk in victory with him. And so Israel has been going through all these battles. And Moses tells Joshua, your eyes have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. He's saying you've had these battles and God has brought victory to you in those things. But you know what? There's going to be more battles. But what happens when you experience those battles is do not forget what God has done in the past. As hard as all these other wars and all these other nations that they're going to, you know, go through in battle and you know, just that fight, it's going to be hard, but he's saying go back and remember these other things. And that's what I hope that we can learn is when times are tough, those memories of the victories that God has given us, those testimonies, those memorial stones, if you will, that's what can keep us grounded and keep us encouraged to move forward. And that's what Yahweh is telling Joseph or Joshua right here. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 12 says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I will certainly remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and on your deeds with thanksgiving. That is the tool that we have been given. That is the exercise that we have been given to go through all the struggles that we go through, so that we do not lose heart. And I've spoken about this, you know, several times, I think. But my freshman year of college, I went there, you know, having been an on-fire believer at that point. And for some stupid reason, I went to Kansas, which was I don't know why. I made that decision, but Yahweh told me eventually why he allowed me to go to Kansas. But I got just into things that I shouldn't have been getting into, and my relationship with God just kept dwindling away and away and away and away. And I was thinking about this over the last 2 days or so, is that I was driving to Glenwood Springs to see Samara and her track meet, and for some reason a bunch of old songs that, you know, I've known for years and years and years, they came up, and those were my memorial stones. And I started thinking back to where I was and what I was going through at different times. And one of the things that I experienced my freshman year of college is, and Isaac brought this to mind this morning, as we were driving up to get Elijah, and he said, you know, what was one of your first jobs? And I was talking about jobs, and then I remembered, oh yeah, my freshman year of college, I was a tutor at an elementary school, you know, a couple of towns away. And it just reminded me how much driving I did during that year, because when you're in Kansas, there's not a whole lot else to do other than just drive around. But well, there's hills in different places. It's not all flat. But driving has always been my thing. Driving has been my time to get alone with God. And I remember driving to and from the school where I was, you know, tutoring at, and I just constantly felt like Yahweh was trying to bring me back, trying to bring me back. And there were times where I'm just driving along and I'm just weeping, I'm crying, because I recognize, God, this is what you have for me, and I'm not doing it. And I feel like every day I'm getting farther and farther away from you. And there would be these songs that would play over and over that is what kept me barely holding on, I felt, until Yahweh showed me why he sent me to Kansas, is so that I would be completely broken and that I would end up going back to Colorado and starting to get my life back together and then meet this beautiful one over here and then have all these other kids. That's what Yahweh taught me. And every time that I hear these songs and I listen to these things, for me, that's my connection point. That I go back 20 years or so, 25 years? Holy buckets. And I start remembering the victories that God has given me. And I don't have to look on that freshman year of college with just remorse and regret, because all the stupid things that I did, the stupid decisions I made, Yahweh has allowed me to have victory over those things and to experience something greater. So I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I shall remember the drives through the wilderness of Kansas, listening to music. I will certainly remember your wonders of old as my children begin to ask me these things and to ask about my testimony and what happened. I will meditate on all your work and on your deeds with thanksgiving. I am thankful for the somewhat wasted year in Kansas. I am thankful for that year. I took very little away from that year other than spending a lot of money and learning how to do bad habits. That's about all that I feel like I took away from it physically, but now I appreciate that and I have thanksgiving for that, because that was a small battle in a much greater war. And without that small battle, I would not be able to have victory in this bigger war that God has put me in. And now I have battles and I overcome some and I fail in some and I'm still going through some of them. But when I remember back to what Yahweh has done for me, then I am more empowered and more encouraged and more invigorated to keep fighting. Lamentations 3. How many of you guys make Lamentations a regular part of your Bible reading? Not many of you. If you are, then you are more spiritual than I. If you are ever just kind of in an emotional mindset and you're just kind of going all over the place, Lamentations is a good place to go. You know, there's certain parts of the Bible, you know, the book of Proverbs, if you just need some degree of instruction, you open up Proverbs, you're going to get something. If you're going to open up the Psalms, you're just going to get some praising. You're getting some worship going on. If you get into the Torah where it says, you know, my favorite part of the Torah is what is often labeled the sundry laws. I love the sundry laws that God puts in the Torah, because there are just so many random things in there that make me think, that make me wonder, and make me start investigating my relationship with God. But if you're ever just kind of in an emotional mood, and you're just kind of going up and down and up and down, Lamentations is a fun place to be, because it kind of enables you a lot of times in your downward emotions, but it also gives you that optimistic mindset, that encouragement mindset, that victory mindset. So Lamentations verse 3, I'm going to go through about 7-8 verses of this. Remember my misery and my homelessness, the wormwood and the bitterness. My soul certainly remembers and is bent over within me. That's a pleasant thought, isn't it? That's just a whole lot of encouragement there, isn't it? How many of you can relate to that emotion at some point in time where you are just at your end? I love that. My soul certainly remembers and is bent over within me. That's just at a point of just about failure, complete failure. I remember my misery and my homelessness, the bitterness, the things that are rotting away. I remember those things. Maybe some of you are experiencing that now. And that is okay. Because remember when I had you pinch your arm earlier? Some of you got just overzealous and you pinched a little bit harder than you should have, and some of you might have little bruises later on. But it's a reminder that some of us are going through hardships right now. And we can feel that misery. We can feel that just being broken and just completely, you know, broken before God. But verse 21 says, I recall this to mind, therefore I wait. So many times we experience that hardship. We experience that battle. We experience that that bitterness and that misery. And we just think about it and think about it and think about it. But at some point, Yahweh says, I will wait. You should wait at this point. I recall this to my mind, therefore I wait. Wait in expectation. Not just sit there and continue to dwell on things, but to wait because God has done so much in your life before, you know He's going to bring back a victory and an encouragement after that. Going on in verse 22, because of the mercies of Adonai, we will not be consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Adonai is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Adonai is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of Adonai. When you are at that point of brokenness, when you're going through that struggle, you wait. You recall what's going on because sometimes God does not just give you the immediate rescue from that. But we should be at a point where we wait. And once we wait, we start experiencing all this. Adonai is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of Adonai. It is okay to just sit there and experience what it is that God has for us. But at some point in time, He's calling us to actually do something, to actually start thinking about something that He wants us to do, to remember all of the victories that He has given us in the past. Oh, how you doing? Kyla, can you get me back to my message, please? There we go. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. There it is. I already said some of this. Bless Adonai, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassions. He satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. What is so cool about what Yahweh does is He creates all of these things for us to remember. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 4, if you wouldn't mind. It comes right after Joshua chapter 3, if you're struggling with that. This is kind of the same story, the same time as what we're reading in Deuteronomy right now. But it happens in the next book. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Those stones, to me, are representative of the memories of the victories God has given us in the past. Because Joshua chapter 4 implies that the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, will come into contact with that part of the Jordan River. Because Yahweh is saying, build up these memorial stones so that when your children see it, they're going to remember. when we have victories in our life, God often brings us back to those as a memory of what he has done for us. And so what my encouragement to you folks today is, and this is where we're going to get a little bit into this activity, if you would. Elijah and Samara, if you could go do what I asked you to do earlier, please, and hand out some of those things, please. Please get up and move. I'm going to have these two children hand out some pens and some paper, okay? And Kyla here in a little bit is going to put some music on. And you're going to have the opportunity to have, I don't want to cut it short, but like 10 minutes or so. And you are going to recall what God is not only doing in your life right now, but what he has done in the past. And so I'm going to start us off in prayer while these children eventually get going. If you guys could just, kids just run back and forth and hand a pen and a piece of paper to almost everyone. I'm going to pray here in a second. And then I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction on what I feel like Yahweh wants us to learn through this time, if you don't mind. So, and this is something that I really encourage you to do, to think about, and not just, you know, kind of gloss over, because I feel like this exercise, this time of remembrance, can really give you encouragement and victory when you start going over things. And so I do just ask that you kind of take it seriously. So Father, thank you so much for just being an active God who is living and active in our life. Father, who allows us to go through struggles, who allows us to experience hardship, but Father, who is always faithful in giving us victory over things, who is always faithful in encouraging us and bringing to mind everything that you have done in our lives as individuals, but as families, as a kahal, as the greater kingdom of the body of Messiah. I am so thankful that you are living and active. I am thankful that you want us to be able to walk in maturity, to walk in victory, Father, that you just have great things in mind for us as individuals, but that we wouldn't be caught up in the struggles that we are experiencing now for longer than we need to be. Amen. All right, so what I want you to do, could you help them move a little bit faster, please? What I'm going to ask you to do is to take a few moments and to be in prayer and to be very honest with yourself about the struggles you are currently at this moment facing, the battles that you are currently actively going through right now that God has not brought some degree of resolution to. I want you to be honest with yourself. No one else is going to see this, because as I say oftentimes, is if you had to come up with three things that you're struggling with right now and you need deliverance from, you guys could name them right off the bat. But I want you to go to the Holy Spirit and just take a few minutes, and up at the top of that paper, just be honest in what you are currently struggling with and battling with. And while we do that, Kyla's going to have some music playing in the background.